Good morning. Such a joy to be here again and to worship God with everyone. Today's lesson is all about the significance of local church membership. I struggle with finding appropriate background pictures sometimes. I feel like I nailed it today, so we'll just acknowledge that real quick. thank you. I had the very unique privilege of, over the course of about 4 or 5 years, to do appointment preaching, I guess they call it, filling in at half a dozen or so local congregations where, you know, we were members at Mooresville at the time, but once a month or sometimes twice, Chelsea and I would go to these other churches that did not have a full-time preacher to worship with the brethren there and share a Bible lesson. It was a very, very interesting and enlightening opportunity to get to know other Christians in other areas and get to just to see how other places operate, right? And so these places were of various sizes, some about our size, some smaller. But one thing that becomes very obvious when you get to know these places is the size of the group has very little to do with the strength of the group. Very, very little to do with the strength of the group. The strength of a congregation, of a local church, has a lot more to do with the commitment of the members there. It has a whole lot more to do with the faith of the individuals and the commitment of the individuals within that local group. This is a special group here at Danville. And I don't say that this group is special because I'm here. I am here and my family is here because this is a special group. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We would be someplace else at this moment. When I get up here each Sunday and I say something to the effect of it's an honor to bring another lesson from God's word, or, you know, I'm grateful to be worshiping with you all, those words are not said in vain. Even though I say something every week to that effect, it is never in vain. I mean it each and every time I step up here and try to express my gratitude and my appreciation and my joy for this moment, for these moments that we have together. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. As members of a local church, we are in fellowship together. That means there are things we share together that are very unique to being a part of a local body of Christ. And it's our commitment to sharing in these things that will make or break us as a congregation. I will tell you, I am so encouraged by things that I have seen, things I have heard, conversations I've been a part of. I believe we are heading in a very good direction here at Danville. Being fully transparent, I felt for a while we were kind of, you know, treading water a little bit and kind of staying in one place, but I feel like we are truly heading in a very good and positive directions. I've heard things and seen things that make my little preacher heart very happy, if you will. We got a strong group of individuals, a strong group of families that are very committed to God. And in that commitment to God, we are also very committed to one another. And I think that's growing. And I hope this lesson helps us to continue to grow in that direction today. Our purpose is to look at some of the things we share, why they are important, and help better understand the significance of what this means to be a part of a local congregation. There's always room to grow. I know there are things I'm going to touch on that I can grow in this morning, and I hope you find some areas where you can grow as well. I want my church family to be as strong as possible, and I think we all want that, right? God gives us an ideal for his people, something to strive for, and the joy that we get to experience from that is unmatched. You're not going to find that anywhere else. So if you would take out your Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to use this chapter to help us find our outline today, and we're going to begin by reading verses 1 through 6. I therefore, this is Ephesians 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's a lot there, but what I want us to see first is that as members of a local church, we share our faith, right? We share our faith together. There is a unity that exists among all of Christ's disciples around the world in our faith. We're all part of one body, it says. And that body, you look back in the first chapter of Ephesians 22, verses 22 and 23, tells us that the church is his body. There's one universal church that we all belong to as we are led by one Spirit. And, you know, we have one Lord and one God. We've all been baptized with the one baptism there. We all have one faith. We all have one common faith. And that faith that we share as members in the Lord's church is unique, right? It's unique because it rests in this unity that the Lord calls us to. Can we have differences of opinions in some areas? Yes, we can, but there are no differences in doctrine, right? He calls us to have a special unity within his church. And if we're not unified in these things, then we don't share the same faith. We have to be unified in that. Paul says we have fellowship in the gospel in Philippians 1 and verse 5. Fellowship in the gospel. It's the truth of the gospel that binds us together in our faith. And so before you can be a member of a local congregation, you have to be a member of the Lord's church, right? The universal church, if you will. If you go back over to Acts chapter 2 real quick, verse 41. After this is the day of Pentecost, right? And Peter gave the first gospel message. And at the very end, the people ask him, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, right? In verse 38. Verse 41 says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. You skip down to verse 47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. When a soul is saved, after they've repented, after they've been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, the Lord adds that person to his church. If you are a member of the Lord's church, that means you share in this one common faith. And it's then that you can become a member of a local church, right? When you are a member of the Lord's church. There's a lot more to local church membership, though, than just sharing our faith. This is the starting point when we share our faith. But we also share in our submission. If you go back to Ephesians 4, we looked at verse 11 last week. Let's look at it one more time. He says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Again, we don't have those today like they did in the first century. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The term I want us to focus on is pastor. Same, this term pastor is used interchangeably with bishop and elder. I like to use the word shepherd. That's also used to describe the work that these men do. Shepherd is a description of their work. But my point with this is members in a local church are under the oversight of the elders of that church. We are to be in submission to them. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says this: obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. The Bible tells Christians we are to obey the elders in a church. We're to be in submission to them. If you look over at 1 Peter, if you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 with me. 1 Peter 5, the first three verses. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so, again, here we have this imagery of elders serve as shepherds, right? They shepherd the flock. Which elders are we supposed to submit to? We are to be in submission to the elders here at Danville, right? Todd and Rodney, those are the elders among us. If the elders at Avon down the road make a decision, am I subject to their oversight? I'm not. Not as a member of Danville, right? Both one verses 1 and 2 of 1 Peter 5 emphasize the locality of this relationship. Elders are told to shepherd the flock which is among you, right? The flock that's here among us. We then are in submission to those shepherds who are among us. In Titus 1 and verse 5, Titus is instructed to appoint elders, and he's given the very clear direction in every city. Every individual city, every individual location is to have their own set of elders. And their authority is in that location, right? Over the flock among them. An elder's authority is restricted to the congregation he is a part of. Well, what if I don't want to submit? What if I don't want to submit to elders? Can I just choose not to be a member of a local church? I'll just be a Christian and I'll go to worship, but I'm not going to be a member anywhere. Can I do that? If that's what I want to do? Some kind of like that idea. Look at Paul's example. Go over to Acts chapter 9. Paul is still going by Saul at this point. And I think this gives us a good idea of how this works once we become a Christian. Acts 9 and verse 26 is where we'll begin. Now, remember, Saul previous to this was persecuting the church. And so we can sympathize a little bit with the Christians for not being so eager to allow him to join their number. Acts 9, beginning in verse 26. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. What did Saul do after becoming a faithful Christian, after becoming a member of the Lord's church? He goes to Jerusalem and he tries to join himself to this local group. At first, they're like, you just dragged some of us off to prison not long ago. We're not letting you in here. But Barnabas is like, no. He's changed. He's repented. He's been converted. And so they allow him to become a part of them at Jerusalem. And you see him coming in and going out and being a member of the church here. The idea of Christians being joined together in fellowship, forming a local church and belonging to that church, is just an inherent practice of New Testament Christianity. When you read through the New Testament, that's just kind of an understood aspect of how this goes. Most of Paul's letters were written to churches in specific locations, weren't they? We looked at Philippians 1:1 last week. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So he's writing to saints, that's Christians, in Philippi, right? Who are under the bishops there with the deacons. And so he's writing to this local church that worships and lives in Philippi. Ephesians 1:1, Paul writes to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Again, we have Christians who first share their faith in Christ Jesus, who also happen to be in this one city. Over in Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. And he tells them, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. What flock? The flock that is among them, right? The flock that is in Ephesus. And again, as you read through the New Testament, so much of what Christians are told to do only makes sense in the context of local churches meeting together. We could do a deep dive into 1 Corinthians and then look at 2 Corinthians and see how that worked, right? The relationship they had as a local church and the struggle they had getting along as a local church. For time's sake, we won't get into that. But when we meet together, we belong to one another. Ephesians 4, where we've been today, later on in the chapter, verse 25, says we are members of one another. You want to be a Christian without belonging to a local church? How's that work? We're supposed to be members of one another. That the Christians in Ephesus were members of one another, serving God under the oversight of the elders, the shepherds that were there. Are there exceptions? Well, unfortunately, there are situations in which a local church does not have men qualified to be elders. That's an unfortunate reality. It does not mean Christians should not aim to join themselves to the disciples, exactly as Saul did in Acts 9. In fact, stick with Ephesians. Over in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 21, it says we are to be submitting to one another. It doesn't say elders, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So even if you don't have elders, we're still supposed to submit to the members amongst us, right, to one another. Again, there might be an occasion when maybe you go for a brief period of time without being a member of a local church. Maybe your family moves to a different location. Maybe things have transpired within your location and you need to find another church to belong to. And so you spend time looking for that. Maybe there's error being taught and you that fellowship has been severed because they're not practicing the same faith anymore, perhaps. Sometimes, unfortunately, congregations close their doors. Things happen and they don't keep meeting. And so the Christians that were there need to go and find someplace else. There might be a reason for a limited time to not belong to a member, but we should never try to stay that way. We need to be finding a local place to submit to one another and to the oversight of that congregation and preferably the elders, right? When we submit ourselves to the oversight of a local church, we also share in our assembling together. In our assembling together. Go back to Ephesians 4. And let's read verses 11 again through 15. We'll pick up with some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. How does that take place? How does that happen? Verse 11 mentions teachers. When do teachers teach? Who do teachers teach? When does that happen? How do we equip each other? Over in the next chapter, Ephesians 5, 19 through 21, says we should be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When do we sing together? When do we submit together? Right? We do these things with one another when we assemble. We can't do this if we don't come together, if we don't assemble. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, in the preceding verses from what we're going to read, the writer gives us just the most beautiful description of what Jesus has done for us. He explains the excellence of the new covenant that we get to share in. And because we share in this new covenant, we have these blessings that come with belonging to Christ. If you look over in verse 24 and 25, he follows it up by saying this: let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The reality is the judgment day is coming. Possibly sooner than we expect, right? Judgment is coming. So don't forsake coming together, right? We're supposed to be coming together and stirring up one another and sharing our love for one another. This is just an undeniable aspect of our faith. Trying to encourage one another the best we can to remain faithful. How often do we assemble together? Acts 20 and verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 give us the pattern of meeting as a local church on the first day of the week, right? We meet on the first day of the week. As Christians who are members of a local church, we need to be assembling together every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. You know, when it got its start, when the church got its start back in Acts 2, verse 46 shows Christians coming together daily, right? It shows them coming together daily. I'm not suggesting that we have to get together every day. That's not what I'm saying. I am suggesting, I don't think it's possible for us to assemble too often. Maybe it's possible. I don't think it's likely that we're going to assemble too often, right? The point, the number of times is not what is significant here, right? The number of times a person assembles with the church or doesn't assemble with the church does not make a person more or less righteous than anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying Christians need to spend time together. We need to spend time together. It is good for us to spend time together. It's when we spend time together we are able to stir each other up for love and good works. How much time? No numbers are assigned. But possibly more than what we do sometimes. Sometimes these three categories, we look at this and this is it. This is what we do as a local church, right? This is what it means to be a local church. It's the entirety of our existence in some places, maybe. We share in our faith, our submission to local oversight. We share in our worship assemblies, and that's it. But my beloved, if this is all it is, this is an incomplete picture. This is an incomplete picture of a local church. If this is all that's going on, there is something that is missing. And you know, when this is all that's going on, either as a local church or for me as an individual Christian, if this is all that's going on with me, it's very easy to feel like something is missing. Because sometimes it's a struggle for some members even to engage in this. Man, I said that photo nailed it earlier, but the color is so much different. I'm sorry, I didn't nail it. That's pretty terrible. Sometimes this is a struggle. To even get to this point for some, right? To even share the same faith, to be of sound doctrine, let alone obey the shepherds. This is all important, super important. This is all critical to local church membership. But beloved, if this is all it means to you, then you're missing out. You're missing out. Being a member of a local church also means that we share in our ministry. You go back to Ephesians 4 again. Let's go back to verse 12 and go through verse 16. You know, we have evangelists and pastors and teachers today for the equipping of the saints, verse 12, for the work of ministry. We talked about that last week. Yes, deacons are ministers in an official capacity, but all of us, every single Christian, is expected to serve, to minister, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, all of us are called to the work of ministry. Deacons are not the only members expected to serve. Verse 16 says, every part does its share. Every part. Every part. So I have a very important question that you need to answer. Here at Danville, are you just a consumer or are you a producer? Are you a consumer or are you a producer? Now we all consume, right? All of us consume something. When we come together, when we assemble together, There's something for all of us to take in, to consume as a part of this. But what are you producing? And maybe that's in our assemblies, maybe it's in our Bible classes, maybe it's outside. What are you producing? I think that's a good question to look at. Am I just a consumer or am I a producer also? But maybe a better question that I think gets to the root of the problem. To you, does the local church more closely represent a business or a family? Is the Danville Church of Christ a business or is it a family? What is it to you? You see, with a business, when I walk through the door of a business, there's something I want. I go there for a purpose. I go and find that thing, and as long as it's for a reasonable price, I select it, bring it to the front. You know, now I might pass by other things like, oh, that looks nice. I see the price tag. Nah, I'm good. I pass on by, right? I get what I want. I go to the front. I pay what I feel is a fair price, and I go. I leave. I go home. And I'm done. And that's what the business is, right? Does that describe your relationship with the church? You come looking for what you need, you know, looking for a bargain. You pay the best price and go home. On the other hand, with family, when I walk through the door of a family member's home, that is a completely different experience than going into Walmart, isn't it? Completely different experience. When I go into the home of a family member, I look forward to spending as much time there as I can. Right? I'm not looking forward to leaving right away. When I look forward to spending time with family, yes, I'm looking to have a good time. I'm looking, you know, to find a feeling of satisfaction. But I'm also seeing how can I bless them? Maybe they need help with something. Right? Maybe they need to talk about something that's going on. I'm looking to be a blessing to them in return. There's a mutual relationship there that I'm trying to offer something just as much as I'm trying to get something in return. And before we depart, we usually talk about the next time we can get together, right? And in some family, you know, saying goodbye, you know, the kids have had their shoes on for 15 minutes and we're still talking. It's time to say goodbye. Dad, I got ready. Like, you're the one still talking, right? 20 minutes go by. It's hard to say goodbye sometimes because you don't want to leave. Does this describe your relationship with the church? Are we a business or a family? Look over in Romans 16. I thought about it this morning, looking over my notes. I said, maybe that would be a better title, you know, business or family. Romans 16, let's read through the first 16 verses. We're not going to break all this down, but just listen to Paul's description. And this isn't even the church that he's a member of, okay? But listen to his description of these Christians and tell me if this sounds like a business relationship or like family relationships. Romans 16 verse 1, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with him. Greet Phlogius and Julia, Nereus and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Paul literally talks about these members as brothers, as sisters, fellow countrymen, I love verse 13, great Rufus, chosen of the Lord, and his mother and mine. He says Rufus' mom is like my own mother. He talks about their labors together, their ministry together, right? How some risk their necks for him. Some have given up time and space in their own houses for the church to meet and to gather. He talks about those who labored much for us. That sound like business associates or family members? These are devoted family members. Far too many places of worship have turned worship services into worship productions, where the producers are all up here and everyone out there just consumes, right? And they have all these people focused on the lighting and the sound system and the worship band, and they've created this whole experience just to be consumed by the audience. And they operate very much like a business, president of operations and all these different positions that you don't find in the scriptures. Even some congregations of the Lord's church, though, beloved, even some of us, I'm afraid, have turned into a place of business. A place where people come to consume a product. And where all the elders and the preacher are concerned with is, what can we offer everyone? What's the next program? What's the next, you know, occasion that we can offer to someone so that they can come and consume? And that's all we're focused on. They've forgotten that we're supposed to be a family. Not just a family with a shared purpose and a shared mission. We are to be a family on a mission. But we can only do that. Look back in Ephesians 4:16. We can only do that when every part does its share. Every part does its share. When every part does its share, do you see the result? Look in verse 16. What's the result? When every part does its share, it causes what? Growth of the body. You want to grow as a local church? Spiritually, numerically, whatever. You want to grow? Every part has to do its share. And I'll just from, again, conversations in the last few days, you know, the elders gave out some assignments, and it's impressive already in just a week how much more work is being done, how much you guys have taken that to heart and gotten busy in things. That's awesome. That's going to lead to growth here at Danville. When we are engaged in ministry, in service, that term ministry has been so turned. It's service, right? When we're engaged in serving one another, as the Bible instructs, the body will grow. But listen, don't expect growth if you won't do your share. Don't expect it. That's the discouraging part, isn't it? When you lose people, you say, well, we're not growing here, so I'm going to go elsewhere. That's sometimes why we're not growing, right? Again, there are reasons for it. There are reasons for it, and that's fine. But if we're going to grow, you have to do your share. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus tells John what to say to the seven churches in Asia, and he refers to each of the churches as a golden lampstand. A golden lampstand. My beloved, when all of us, as a family, when we do our share, we shine as the golden lampstand that Christ intends for us to be. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. How Peter describes us in verse 9. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we embrace our shared mission of going to heaven and taking as many people with us as we can, when we embrace that, we shine as that lampstand. I kind of think of it as a lighthouse, right? We are to be a lighthouse in the town of Danville. So that if other people want to find refuge from the Lord, we're casting that light out. Showing them where they can go, right? Calling them out of that darkness. But again, this is not done by all of us just going off and doing our own thing. There are things we have to do individually as part of the group, but this is done when we are all, what did it say back in Ephesians 4? Knit together. Joined and knit together. That's what it means to be part of a local church. We are joined and knit together. When something's knit together, it doesn't just come apart. Right? You don't just forget about somebody. They don't just wander off somewhere. We have to be careful not to do what Paul warned the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, and back in 1 Corinthians 12. He says this in verses 21 and 22. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. No. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Every member of the body is necessary. Every single one. All of us. If you are a member of the Lord's church here in Danville, we need you. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter where your faith is at this moment, wherever you are right now, that's your starting point from today forward, right? But we need you. We need all of you. You are a part of this family, and we need you to embrace your role in that mission. And if you're not sure what you should be doing, talk to the elders. Talk to the deacons. They'll help you get engaged. It might sound, I don't know, it might sound radical, or maybe you're just not quite there. Maybe you're like, man, you're asking a lot. I just want to come and sit here and go home, right? That's a business. We're out of business. Maybe you don't feel capable of being a producer or again, just don't want to engage. But you got to understand, there's a somewhat ironic truth at work here. The more you engage, the more you produce, the more you do your share, the more you will benefit as a member of the local body. The irony is those members who consume the most are actually those who produce the most. But the catch is you got to start producing more if you want to start consuming more. If you're just like, I'm just not getting that much out of it. I mean, I come every Sunday morning at 9, but then I just don't get anything out of being there. Then you got to give more. Because you're going to get out of it what you put into being a part of this family. Not coming to a business, but being a part of this family. That sounds exhausting, right? What does Galatians 6:9 say? Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It brings us to one more thing that we share as members of a local church. This is really important. We share our burdens. Ephesians 4:16, one more time, says, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The word love at the end there is not just added because it sounds nice. It's not there for decoration. It's there for a purpose. When every part does its share, when we share our faith, when we mutually submit ourselves to the oversight of the elders, when we assemble together for worship and elsewhere, when we share in our ministry, that's when we are serving one another, right? And that is when. That's when we will develop a love for one another that cannot be developed any other way. No other way. When we do this, we're all supplying something, right? Which every joint supplies. We're all supplying something. Jesus was very forthcoming with his disciples about the difficulties we're going to face in life. It's the best life you can lead to be a Christian. The best. But there are troubles that will come along the way. There are difficulties along the way. Still the best life you can lead. But it's not without its own unique troubles. But thankfully, Jesus gave us this capacity to love and to show love as we share our burdens with one another. And it goes back to the very beginning of Ephesians 4. He said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. You know, we all have our own quirks and tics and things that are, you know, different from others. And as a family, sometimes family members kind of, you know, butt heads sometimes, or just get on each other's nerves, perhaps. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. That's part of it. But we deal with that how? In lowliness, with gentleness, long-suffering. We bear with one another in love. What's the significance of local church membership? It's life-changing love that you're not going to experience with anybody else on earth. Nobody else are you going to have this experience with. I almost put love instead of burdens for this final point, but I think burdens is one of the ways we need to express that love, by bearing burdens and sharing burdens. In John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I can love my brothers and sisters in Christ and other congregations across the county, across the country, across the world. That's all great. But it's not the same. It's just not the same quality of love that I have for you. It's not the same love I have for people that I know are mentioning me and my family's name in their prayers. It's not the same love I have for the people whose voices I hear when I sing praises to God. It's not the same love that I have for people that have spent time in my house, and I've spent time in their house, or my backyard, or your backyard, or people who have sat face to face with Johnny in Bible class, or thrown a baby shower, right, for my wife, or it's just not the same love that you're going to find anywhere else. Nowhere else. There is a love that develops between members of a local church that cannot be replicated. It's unique, because it is this love and our, along with our close proximity, that allows us to share our burdens with one another. Back over in Galatians chapter 6, we read verse 9 earlier, right? About not growing weary, you got to keep at it. Verses 1 through 2 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We are to be bearing one another's burdens. Ephesians 4 says, so we are to be bearing with one another in love. I've got burdens. You've got burdens. I've got temptations. You've got temptations. We all have temptations, right? We all struggle with sin from time to time. Being a member of a faithful church of Christ gives us a support system that is committed to overcoming sin, to getting to heaven and helping each other get there. When I think about this, and I think about Jesus and Jesus' time here on earth, Jesus knew, he knows what it was like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be forsaken by everyone. When Jesus faced his toughest burden, he was abandoned. Left all alone. And so he knows what it's like not to have anybody in his corner. He even told us, your own family is going to turn on you because of your faith. It's going to happen to some of you. But in his love for us, he gave us a church. He gave us brothers and sisters, as Luke read before the lesson in Matthew 12. A family of believers who will always be in your corner. A support system so that hopefully we don't have to go through these difficulties alone. But also means, as members, you have to be ready to help bear those burdens too sometimes. We're a family on a mission of serving God, going to heaven, and helping as many people join us as we can along the way. My beloved, if you feel like something is missing from your experience as a member of the Lord's church here at Danville, then you're probably right. Something probably is missing if you feel it. But if you feel something is missing, ask yourself this. Do you treat the church as a business or as a family? Because that difference will change everything. And if you start treating the other people in the pews here, and those who for whatever aren't with us this morning that are of our number, if we start treating those people as family, you're going to see a thing. You're going to see things change. When you engage in this mission of getting to heaven with everyone else here, you're going to see things change. We see a lot of folks that get it. I want to look at one more passage, if you would, with me, over in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Thessalonian Christians got it. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. They got it. A lot of us get it. A lot of you get it. But, Paul goes on to say, the end of verse 10, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. If you are not a member of the Lord's church yet, we would encourage you to become a member. Acts 2 shows us that when a person repents and is baptized for the forgiveness of sins, the Lord adds that person to his church. If you'd like to become a member today, that would be great. That would be a very good choice, and we would welcome you. If you are a member and you need some extra support bearing your burdens, you can share that with us, and we will help you in whatever way we can. If you want to let any need be known right now, you can do so as we stand and as we sing.